few announcements before the homily. First, the charitable portion of our tithe this weekend will go to the Capital Campaign for Human Development. This is a national collection of the U.S. bishops. The fund supports efforts to combat poverty and the social ills of our society. I know there have been some concerns about this campaign, and in my inquiries of the bishop's office, I've been assured that those have been cleaned up, that this now campaign is completely within Catholic teaching. So I hope that addresses that concern. The flowers in the sanctuary in memory of the deceased members of the Mullen family, may they rest in peace. This coming Thursday is our National Thanksgiving Day. In honor of the holiday, the parish office and church building will close at 1 p.m. on Wednesday. It will be closed all day on Thursday. Due to the early closure of our building, we will not have adoration on Wednesday afternoon. On Thanksgiving Day itself, Mass will be at 11 a.m., and all are welcome to join us, either in person or by live stream. Confessions will be a half hour before that Mass as needed. Next Sunday is the beginning of Advent. I encourage you to prayerfully consider how you observe this penitential season. People could sometimes forget that Advent is a penitential season. It's intended as a mini Lent. You should be offering up things or making sacrifices to prepare for the coming of the Lord. So don't allow the Christmas preparation and the hustle and bustle to rob you of the graces of this Advent season. Please note that all parishioners will have an opportunity to make or renew their consecration to Jesus through Mary on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th. Before Easter of the Holy Day Masses, I'll stand at Our Lady's statue. Anyone who would like to come forward can make or renew their consecration. It's a beautiful act of devotion to our Lord and to Our Lady. Again, if you're going to make or renew that on December 8th, I do encourage you, use the next couple of weeks to prepare yourself well. Two other quick announcements. You'll notice that during our Mass today, during the distribution of Holy Communion, we're going to be singing the Litany of Saints. And someone might say, why are we singing the Litany of Saints? Well, you recall at the beginning of this month, I indicated that Mother Church observes the three parts of the Church through her feast days. November 1st was All Saints, November 2nd, All Souls, and here, the Feast of Christ the King, is our celebration of the Church Militant. So we want to honor the Holy Ones because we hope to get where they are, right? So we're going to be asking their intercession. Lastly, I want to thank all of our parishioners who heard my appeal in terms of raising food, collecting food in your neighborhoods. Hope reached out and said that they were in need of food. I made a few announcements through our daily briefings and asked through grassroots effort. In theology, we call it subsidiarity. In popular jargon, grassroots. And I asked parishioners to organize your neighborhoods, rally the cause, collect food, put a bin at the end of your driveway and say, hey, on this day I'm collecting food, this is what's needed. And so many of you responded to that request. In fact, I heard from Hope that thousands of pounds of food have been donated by our parish. I was also very edified to hear that some of our teenagers heard that call and very much took it to heart and took the lead in organizing food collections in their neighborhoods. So I thank you, those of you who heard it, were able to do it, and made it happen. Incidentally, Hope is still in need of food. So if you'd like to organize your neighborhoods or your group of friends or even just your family in order to drop off food, I remind you, this is food. 63% of the people in Lancaster County are below the national poverty line. The shelves at Hope are almost empty because of the immense need. You'll recall that we would normally do a parish-wide collection. With the pandemic, we're unable to do that. So not only our house of worship, but other houses of worship have not been able to do that, and Hope has suffered. We've provided them with a generous grant from our parish in order to assist financially. But I ask again, every household, as you're able, please try to collect food for the local service outreach center. That's Hope in Lancaster. So if you need information, you can contact the front office. But so far, Team Grace has been very impressive. And those of you who have not but are able, I do encourage you. Our neighbors need food. So please help them as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we live in a time of national uncertainty. There are questions about authority, who will hold the presidency in our country. There's confusion over the pandemic. On one side, we're being told that a vaccine is quickly coming, while on the other side, we see a massive second wave of this pandemic sweeping our country. We see threats of violence by certain groups within our borders, and the list goes on. And that's just on the national scene. But then the things that are happening in our own lives, in your families, questions about relationships, health, finances. A lot of households in our parish are struggling. a lot of concerns, a lot of cause for anxiety. In answer to all these questions and concerns, Mother Church reminds us today that all human authority and all the struggles of life are placed under the simple declaration, Jesus Christ is Lord. That in the midst of the fallenness of the world, what our pious tradition calls the Valley of Tears, we follow Christ as King. This is an empty positivism. We don't tell us ourselves this so we feel great or warm fuzzies. This is truth. Our declaration that Christ is King is one that will guide us through the difficulties and struggles of this life. And one day, please God, will welcome us into the Lord's eternal kingdom. That's reality. As we declare Christ our King, we see in the gospel today what his kingship looks like. His kingship is not about raw power or grandiose displays. Our King's kingdom is about humility and about a selfless service. As his disciples, we are called to imitate his way of life. We are called to pursue and follow his most excellent way of love. We hear in the gospel today that we will be judged by how we have lived, how we have loved or not loved, how we have followed the Lord's most excellent way of love. Our imitation of Christ, our following of his way as we declare him King, is a part of what we traditionally call the virtue of religion. That might strike our contemporary ears as a bit peculiar. Virtue, that's an odd word. And the virtue of religion, what exactly is that? The virtue of religion is placed under the broader virtue of justice. We've spoken about justice here at Team Grace before. Justice is the virtue by which we give to someone else what is their due, and we properly expect our due to be given by our neighbors. Justice is an important virtue. The virtue of religion is placed under it, in which we acknowledge what is due to God. Have we been giving God his due? In order to give God his due means we offer him right worship. As we declare, even at this Mass and every Mass, it is right and just to lift up our hearts to him. But the virtue of religion, it also means selflessly serving others in Christ. Now that in Christ is very important, since no action by sinful hearts is worthy of God. In order for us to offer any sacrifice or any gift or any good deed to God the Father, we must do so in Christ. We do our good deeds in Christ, literally continuing his mission in our world today. When we feed the poor as Christians, it is not simply ourselves who feed the poor. When we, the baptized, serve the poor and feed the poor, it is Christ who continues to feed the poor through us and through our own discipleship. This allows us to bring good deeds before the Father, all that we have done, to present these good deeds, especially in worship, to God the Father. Now notice the words of the beginning of the Roman canon. That's our first Eucharistic prayer. This is Christ's own prayer to the Father, by which he represents his sacrifice on Calvary 2,000 years ago. He represents that right here for us in Indian land in 2020. The Eucharistic prayer is the prayer offered to the Father by Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. We, the baptized, are able to be a part of this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And so notice the first words of this powerful prayer. To you, therefore, most merciful Father. That is our first greeting and salutation in Christ to our Father. Most merciful. We acknowledge that we are not worthy to stand in front of him. We have nothing to offer, nothing to merit us standing before him or offering worship. And we remind God that he is most merciful. Look upon us, Lord, with your eyes of mercy. To you, therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition. We have no bearing on our own. We offer humble prayer and petition. I am sometimes amazed at how some approach worship. They act as if they're in some concert hall, or they act as if they are somehow entitled, or somehow they have a place in this place of worship on their own merit. Oftentimes, what is lacking among the faithful is a true spirit of docility and humility. So oftentimes I am scandalized by the way in which the faithful receive Holy Communion, as if I'm passing out some type of cookie or hamburger, rather than the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And in large part, it's because we have become complacent, entitled. We think we deserve it, that the Lord owes it to us. God owes nothing to us. The virtue of justice is not binding upon him. He shows us love and his kindness as an act of sheer goodness. And we approach God, therefore, with humble prayer and petitions. And we say, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And dear friends, it's all there. If Christ is not present with us, if we are not offering our sacrifice in Christ, then our sacrifice is unacceptable. Notice how many times, even as we make the sacrifice in Christ, we pray that God will accept, that he will accept, that you will accept this offering. Listen and notice how many times throughout the Mass we will pray, you accept. Not because there's anything wrong with Christ, but because there's something wrong with us. Because in our fallenness and our sinfulness, sometimes we are not worthy to participate in that sacrifice. And so we remind ourselves and we address the Father. We make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everything we do, dear friends, all that we offer to the Father is only acceptable in Jesus Christ. All that we do, all that we seek to accomplish, only has merit in Jesus Christ. But the prayer continues. To you, therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that you accept and bless. Again, this petition, accept. Accept what we offer. Accept and bless these gifts, these offerings, these holy and unblemished sacrifices. What are these gifts, these offerings, and these sacrifices? What are we speaking of? The prayer is not only speaking about the bread and wine that's before the priest on the altar. The mention of gifts, offerings, and sacrifices, they're references to the good deeds which we have all done in the past week, when we served the poor, when we have sought to give drink to the thirsty, when we clothed the naked, when we visited the sick or the imprisoned, or by extension, when we showed mercy, or when we consoled the brokenhearted, when we admonished the wayward, or when we lifted up the downcast. All the good deeds that we have done this past week, we present to God the Father in Christ. And we ask him that he will accept and bless these gifts, these offerings, these sacrifices. This is what we're offering to him during this sacrifice. The merit of the good deeds that we have done, they put a mark on our soul. They place a gift upon our soul that in the Eucharistic sacrifice we can offer to God. We offer them to the Father in Christ. We seek and humbly ask him to accept these gifts that we seek to offer, even as they might only be 5 loaves and 2 fish. We offer them with our prayers and petitions. But do we? Do we have something to offer at this sacrifice today? In the past week, dear friends, have you served the Lord and continued his work in our world today? Have you served the poor? Have you given drink to the thirsty? Have you visited the imprisoned or the sick? Have you sought to encourage the downcast? What good deeds are upon your soul today that you bring to this sacrifice? Because it's those very deeds that we ask that the Lord will bless and accept. Or is it that we have nothing? In the past week, have we served the Lord? The question, admittedly, can sting. Upon reflection, perhaps we realize we have nothing to offer the Lord this week. Our participation in the Lord's sacrifice is weak. We have nothing to present. If we were to die today, we would have many sins of omission, the good that we are bound to do, but do not do, many sins of omission upon our soul. Do not forget, dear friends, today that the unrighteous were shocked, that they woke up in hell, thinking, how has this happened? Well, because you didn't give me food, you didn't give me drink, you didn't visit me, you didn't clothe me. When did we not do these things, Lord? When did we not do them? Well, you did not do them for the least of my brothers. And those sins of omission merited them hell. The Lord repeats the same lesson in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man merits hell not because he was cruel or unkind, but because he was negligent. Because there was literally a poor man who needed food at his doorpost, and this wealthy man chose to ignore him. Dear friends, throughout the week, the Lord moves our hearts as members of the baptized. Go the extra mile. Make the phone call. show this act of mercy, be generous. And we have to decide every day whether we're going to say yes or no. And on the day of resurrection, we come to this altar in order to offer this sacrifice and to present these gifts, these offerings, these sacrifices. And we ask God in Christ to accept and bless them. But what are we offering? What are we offering to the Lord this Sunday, on this feast day? And perhaps all we can offer him is a broken heart. Lord, I have nothing to present to you today. I know that you called me to show mercy, but I said no. You told me to go the extra mile, but I said no. You told me to call my neighbor and encourage them, but I said no. Perhaps all you bring to the altar is a broken heart. Lord, I repent. I will do better. When you call, I will answer. The Lord can work with a broken heart. In fact, he can flood his grace into that broken heart and make it a zealous heart. Or perhaps you come before the Lord and you say, I do have things to offer. I was kind to my neighbor. I went the extra mile for a family member. I showed mercy when my emotions told me not to. And perhaps you present those to the Lord. And the Lord says to you, as you present these gifts, these offerings, these sacrifices, the Lord says, good, now give me more. Now give me more. Dear friends, we have to realize that we worship a God who is often pleased, but rarely satisfied. He will constantly call us to more. We are on a journey. We do not plateau. We do not stop. We do not take a break. We are on a constant journey following the Lord Jesus on his most excellent way of love. And he will constantly ask from those of us who choose to follow him. And the only decision we have is whether we will say yes or no. But when we say no, we just have to have the docility and the honesty to admit it. Because what the Lord cannot work with, he can work with an open heart. He can work with a broken heart. But what the Lord cannot work with is the heart that is obstinate. I've done enough. I have a job. I have families. This is why I haven't been able to do all these things. The Lord cannot work with that. Well, you know what? I've done enough. I did this when I was younger. I played my part. I did my role. I'm done. The Lord can't work with that. An obstinate heart, a proud heart, the Lord cannot work with. And grace cannot work and cannot transform in the midst of a hardened heart. Dear friends, while our offering might be weak, the sacrifice here is never weak. The grace of this sacrifice and this sacrament of Holy Communion gives us the strength to do better. As we approach this altar, we hear a summons today on this feast of Christ the King. We are invited to once again to start over, to once again declare Jesus Christ as the Lord of our hearts and our homes. We are called to deepen in our commitment and assess how we are truly living his most excellent way of love. Are my acts of love more acts of no? Or have I nurtured a generous heart, a heart that is docile and open and willing and say yes to whatever the Lord might ask of me? Today we are given a new beginning, a fresh start on this powerful feast day. And again, we have to decide whether we will declare Jesus Christ as the Lord of our hearts. And as we say that he is Lord, he is King, then we must have that openness to do what he asks of us. We must show the obedience of faith. Do you know, dear friends, that our entire way of life, all that we are as Christians, is to allow grace to transform us more and more into his likeness. We who have freely heard, have freely chosen to follow Jesus Christ, we look upon him and see in him our only hope and in his message the only path to salvation. And our task is to transform ourselves, to follow him faithfully, generously, unconditionally. And I know this is difficult. This is difficult because of our own fallenness. It's difficult because our leadership is silent. I will always hold us to the norm. Even when so many of our bishops give passes to national leaders who defy our faith, who mock it publicly, even as they hold the highest offices in this country, discipleship is the great equalizer. Everyone, from the highest of office to the lowest of worker, is bound by the same command of discipleship. You will hear from me throughout the next several years of what is expected of us. And if anyone chooses to publicly identify themselves as a Roman Catholic, no matter who he or she might be, and yet hold views that are opposed to our way of life, you will hear from this AMBO denunciations. A man cannot claim to be Catholic and then say no. Claim to be Catholic and support abortion, the worst possible assault on human dignity in our most vulnerable stages. And to say that you are Catholic, at least have the virtue of religion and integrity and go become an Episcopalian, huh? Or go become a Methodist. But to claim to be Catholic, a Roman Catholic, and to defy the very basics of our faith, to support gay marriage, and even to officiate over such things, and to support transgenderism, utterly opposed to our way of life and our understanding of God as creator, we will be held by the same standard. We will be judged before the same throne. And our way of life must be lived by everyone, no matter who he or she might be. No one gets a pass. There is no elitism to the gospel. And it particularly offends me, both as a believer and a Catholic priest, when someone will publicly say they are Catholic and yet hold to every possible conviction that is opposed to our faith. Again, at what point does a person just simply acknowledge Christ is not the king of my life? My desire for power is the king of my life. My desire for the acceptance of this world is the king of my life. At what point do any of us have the honesty in our own heart to say, is Christ truly king? And if we say he is king, Jesus Christ is king of my heart, and I will follow and die to myself in order to live his gospel and his most excellent way of love, then he will give us the grace to do it. He will give us the grace to do it. But God can only work with open hearts, humble hearts, broken hearts. God cannot work with arrogant hearts. He cannot work with lying hearts. He cannot work with deceptive hearts. And while some national leaders have convinced our leaders, our bishops, to be quiet, nothing can silence the gospel. And while they can turn the church into a fool, God is no one's fool. And again, we are held, all of us, to the same standard. On this feast of Christ the King, I encourage you in your own heart, in your homes, to once again to declare the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when the Lord moves your heart to say yes, the Lord will move you into uncomfortable situations, awkward situations, places you would prefer not to go. And yet the Lord will push you. Organize your neighborhood in order to feed the poor. Oh, that's awkward. I don't know. I don't really talk to my neighbors. Die to yourself and do the Lord's work. When the Lord calls you to be the one who stops the joking because it's inappropriate, do it and be silent. Walk away or tell those who are telling the jokes, this is inappropriate. Or when the Lord moves your heart in order to be the person of mercy, to forgive when others are inflicting judgment, be the difference. The Lord will constantly place us in the darkest of situations because he expects us to be light. He will put us in situations that are stale or that have no life in order that we might be the salt and the leaven. When the Lord hears us declare, you are Christ, you are King, he takes us at face value. He takes us at face value. And he expects us to live what we have publicly declared. The Lord tells us in his teachings, I would rather that you were cold or hot. But the Lord says, be not lukewarm. Be not lukewarm. He tells us, I will vomit the lukewarm from my mouth on the day of judgment. The Lord would rather someone to be an obstinate hater of the gospel than to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, to claim to believe one thing, but to utterly betray the very substance of what he or she claims to believe. That lack of integrity, that hardness of heart, that deception, the Lord cannot work with. If we find that deception in our hearts, on this feast of Christ the King, dig it out, name it, and then get yourself to confession. Confess it before the Lord. Admit your sin. Repent on this powerful feast day and allow yourself once again to live as one of the subjects of this kingdom, the kingdom of light and peace, of truth and grace, of goodness and holiness. This is our King. Let us today start new, a new beginning. Let us each take advantage of this opportunity to start over, and let us each labor every day to follow the Lord faithfully, even in the midst of our fallenness, to follow him faithfully, to continue his work as he calls us to say yes, and every day, dear friends, as best we can, in the midst of the sinfulness and the brokenness, every day as best we can to say yes and to truly offer the Lord our 5 loaves and 2 fish.